Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world who knows that the U.S. Postal Service could never win the WBC. I'm Jake Mintz, that's Jordan Schusterman, and on today's show, we will be popping open the mailbag.
Damn, you don't think they could qualify? You don't think the U.S. Postal Service, that's an interesting thought.
Japanese Postal Service throws too many splitters.
That's true. I would definitely pick them if we were taking all the postal services across this great planet, Jake. It is Monday. It is Labor Day, but not when we're recording this. We're recording this on Friday morning ahead of the weekend. This is going to be a super special mailbag episode. I know we've done some of these in the past, but this is probably going to be the most mailbag questions we answer in one episode, and we figured because we were going to be at a wedding on Sunday night and not wanting to be recording a podcast on Monday morning, and because it is Labor Day, this is a perfect time to do that. So we'll be back with more live, timely reactions to news around the baseball world on Wednesday. But until then, we're about to answer many fantastic questions from you fine folks. You can email us at baseballbarbacast@gmail.com. That's BARBcast. And the quality and quantity of emails has improved immensely in recent months.
You folks are picking it up, getting hot down the stretch.
Oh yeah, this is you're sending emails at the right time.
We love to see it. Remember to subscribe to the show, rate and review, tell your friends about it.
Yeah.
If you think any part of the show sucks, let us know. Let's dive right into the mailbag and begin with Mark.
Mark
says, "Feel free to pick whichever one is your favorite." And Mark, we're going to do that because one of your questions is better than the other. If you could become president of baseball ops or GM for any franchise, what would you choose? Would you go the easy route and pick an already successful franchise? Would you want to conduct your own rebuild or join a team like the Nationals that is already halfway through one? Or would you go the I think I can fix him route and prove your GM skills on the White Sox or A's or something? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jordan?
So it is probably somewhere in the middle. I mean, on one hand, I think about a guy like Alex Anthopoulos who joined the Braves when they were already in pretty good shape, but has continued to strengthen them. And now everyone thinks he's just like one of the best. And now he's chilling.
Yeah.
Well, if you take the Braves are a good example. Let's say they tell Alex Anthopoulos, "Sorry, dude, it's my job now. Like I have to do so little over the next little while." But I think that like they have so like they're six of their position players are just, we know who they're going
to
be.
Jordan's approach to this question is, where can I do the least amount of work?
No, but this is what I'm saying. That is an option, right? That is okay. The Braves, right? The Braves are really the only one like that. At the same time, that's no fun. If we have the dream of running a baseball team, like I would want to run the baseball team.
So
I think it's somewhere closer to the middle, like something that has maybe a little bit more promise than Detroit or Kansas City rebuild. Like, honestly, Cincinnati's an interesting one, but then you start worrying about spending. So do you have an obvious answer? I think I actually just came up with a good one.
For me, so one thing to know about Jake Mintz is that I'm a selfish person.
Yeah.
And so if I'm picking a team, my only requirement is, if I win, am I a legend? That's okay. All I care about.
Yeah, so where is that true?
Cleveland.
Cleveland, Seattle. Texas has never won.
I would probably say
those are the three, like way
San
up
Diego
there.
San Diego has never won.
Pittsburgh is an interesting option.
Correct.
San Diego has never won. San Diego, ooh, that's an interest. That's a really enticing
Oakland,
one.
Keep the you win in 24. We keep the team there. All right,
win immediately in Oakland. Okay,
we're winning in 24. I'm getting the job.
I'm not taking that job.
Sorry, David Force.
Yeah.
This is me now.
Okay,
the job I would least want.
Yeah.
A job I would least want would be the Yankees.
Yeah, for sure. I think the job...
Not fun.
One that jumps to the top of my mind in terms of resources, fan base, trending in the right direction, good roster is the Cubs.
Yeah.
Because like that's one... I know you're not going to top 2016, but in terms of like how freaking sweet it would be to win with the Cubs, like that's way up there. But I also do like the notion of, right, where are you a legend? It's the team.
Where am I getting a baseball team's logo carved into my tombstone? That's how I think about transactions and analysis. Mm-hmm. All right.
Great.
Let's
question.
Move forward.
Thank you, Mark.
Next question is from Ryan Poff. Mm-hmm. Ryan says, "Howdy, folks. Which team will have a season over 500 first? Royals, A's, White Sox, or Angels?"
Love this question. I love this. I never get tired of debates like this. You know, we compare rebuilds and divisions like Reds, Pirates. We compare Royals, Tigers. Let's
The answer
them.
To any question like this is AL Central.
Ooh, well, we have two options here.
That's what I'm
AL
saying.
Central.
So A's and Angels.
I agree.
Out of the
picture. I think the White Sox are actually my first pick.
I think so too. Things are looking up on the South side.
Not. I mean, again, we just talked on Friday about how I'm not optimistic, but I still think that there's enough there for them to like randomly win 83 games next year. Because especially now that I know that they do want to try and win next year, not that I think they're going to like build a World Series team, I still like where they're at relative to where Kansas City is at.
Totally agree.
The first and the Angels and A's obviously are just heading to despair.
Great question, I would though. Say the A's finish over 500 next before the Angels easily. I think the
not
current,
easily, not easily.
Who's on the Angels next year?
Still better baseball players than the A's.
You want to put money on that
for next season?
No, I'm saying the next time one
Dude,
of the, who does it first?
So far away from winning.
I'll take Oakland over Anaheim next over 500 season. Oakland over Anaheim.
I don't think it's easy. I think you can make a good case. I would not bet on it, but I don't think it's that obvious.
Great.
Very interesting.
Next question from Hannah. Hannah says, hi, Jake and Jordan. A hearty mazel tov on all the smachot. That is a Hebrew word. I was wondering, what is the most Jewish about baseball? Incredible question. Been following the pod and content for a decade now. Thanks for loving baseball as you do and sharing its joy with the world. Thank you, Hannah. What is the most Jewish about baseball, Jordan? The constant failure.
Right. If I was going to say the constant worry.
The worry and the failure. I think that the Jewish people in our history, we are hitting 300 in surviving.
Yeah.
3 out of 10 times. We get out of there and 7 times.
Right. I was going to say something about like, right, survival. You keep coming back.
The neurotic disbelief in a closer. Like if you're like rooting for the Orioles. And Felix Bautista's out there, and you're like, he's going to mess it up. He's going to mess it up. And it's like, actually, no, he's the best closer.
Right. The constant worry, regardless of how good things are. That's correct. I think that is a great
irrational neuroticism. That is more of a modern Jewish thing, right? Jews in America, like, we're chilling for the most part.
Yeah.
Even though our history says it's not. And that's like the Orioles bullpen, right? It's like, it's fine now, but, you know, there was a lot of Asher Wojciechowski at one point. Next question is from Ryan Cahill. He says, generally speaking, left-handed first basemen have a defensive advantage via their angle to the throws coming from the rest of the infield. My question is, would this defensive advantage be worthwhile for a right-handed first baseman given how infrequently they need to make throws? Can't most MLB players throw roughly 60% with their opposite hand as well? So this question is basically positing, should first baseman throw righty just be lefty now because they don't have to throw the ball that much. And here's what I have to say to this. Ryan, thank you for emailing us. This is a bad question. No.
I love the
assumption. I love that you're thinking outside the box here, but no.
And also, can most only players throw roughly 60% as well? No.
No.
No way.
A couple clips of Yu Darvish throwing a flat ground lefty has warped your mind.
And I promise you, none of them would ever want to agree to do that.
Correct.
Our next email.
But thanks for listening and emailing. Yeah. Sorry for being mean.
Our next email is from Matthew. Matthew says, long-time listener, long-time fan. Wow. Thanks, Matthew. Who wins in an all-time 9-inning birthday game? Jake's birthday coming up this week or Jordan's birthday? March 10th is my birthday. September 5th is your birthday. Jake, let's pull up the rosters. We're not going to make full rosters here, but in terms of notable players, I like your chances. I think you have multiple Hall of Famers and I have none. So give me some of the highlights of your September 15th.
Yeah, I mean, we have an issue at second base because we have Nap LaJoie and Bill Mazeroski. So one of those guys is going to have to probably just move over short and wear it. I think I'm confident in my shifting ability.
Who's your best pitcher?
Stephen Kwan will be playing center field.
You have Stephen Kwan and Logan Allen, both Cleveland
and
young guns. Yeah.
And I have Jaren Duran.
So oh,
it's
my
a pretty,
gosh.
Jaren Duran.
He's a turf toe. So we're playing tomorrow. I like my chances, but.
Yeah. Jaren Duran. Is this tall Chris Young? No, this is outfielder Chris Young. So that's a good outfield. Stephen Kwan, Chris Young, Jaren Duran with Nap LaJoie and Bill Mazeroski.
Yeah, I think you're kicking my ass. Here is what I have, really, of note. I have my all-time war leader, again, you have Nap, is a guy named John Briggs, who was an outfielder in the 60s, who was just like a totally average outfielder for the Phillies. So like, that's not a great sign.
No.
In terms of guys that people like actually have heard of recently, I'm sending Mike Timlin to the mound, you know, 18-year big league career. So
yeah, we're sending you to the woodshed.
Yeah. So again, now he only started 4 games. So I mean, even if I'm getting long relief from Timlin, that's probably not a good sign. In terms of recent guys, the most exciting recent addition is Lucan Baker. Lucan Baker, March 10th birthday, the gigantic first baseman DH for the Cardinals.
But don't you have Dion Vecchietto on there?
I have Dion Vecchietto. I don't know if he's still in Japan, but it's really real. Like Tyke Redmond, like it is not a good. I honestly now want to see if I have like one of the lowest WARs in birthday history. So I'm gonna have to ask Sarah Langs about that because it really does feel that way. It is not something. I have all these great celebrities. Non-baseball related, but
like Osama bin Laden,
but also, you know, I got Carrie Underwood, I got Chuck Norris, I got Timbaland, I got John Hamm, I got Olivia Munn, like that. But baseball wise, it's pretty bleak. So I like your team September 5th.
Moving forward, next question is from Nathan Hall. Nathan Hall says, "Hello, Jake and Jordan. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on how the sport can increase front office transaction literacy. Twitter is a hellscape." But it's a hellscape I find myself lost in. And whenever an MLB team tweets out a transaction, there is always a series of replies from people who can't decipher the reasons behind why their team called up James Naley for the third time instead of Tink Hentz. James Naley?
James Naley? You don't know James Naley?
No, I don't know.
You never heard of James Naley? Oh,
never heard of him. Jake, sorry, I'm not watching the Cardinals.
You don't host a podcast.
Also, my wife and I had our first kid back in June. It made me think a lot about my relationship to baseball from my youth until now. The first players I truly remember rooting for were J.D. Drew and So Taguchi. Now I'm trying to project who those players will be for my kid. Sounds like it's going to be James Naley. Who are those players for you? Love the pod. Nathan from the Blacked Out Lands. I assume that's, Iowa, not a alcohol bender.
No.
So transaction literacy. They don't want you to understand. Okay, that's important to know.
Certainly don't care if
they certainly don't care if you understand or not. They want you to buy a ticket and clap your hands when you go to the ball yard. Right. That's it. Speaking of that, players that you remember growing up rooting for at the beginning, like for you, Sammy Sosa was your guy, but was he like the first player you remember? For me,
definitely still Sammy Sosa. Okay. Sammy Sosa, and then you know, eventually, sort of because some of that Cubs carried over was Derek Lee, and I wasn't really a Cubs fan when I was 10. But I love Derek Lee and some of the Marlins, too. I think Dontrell Willis also stands out as someone who, very early on in his career, I was like, that guy's cool.
I think I was probably watching more baseball at a younger age than you.
Yes.
Just because of how diehard O's fans my whole family is. Yes. And so I obviously remember Ripken very vividly. When I think back to early memories, those Orioles teams, I think about Ripken. I think about Chris Hoyles, BJ Surhoff, David Segee. I think about Buddy Groom. Those are like the O's that stick out of my mind. And then beyond that, it's Derek Jeter, unfortunately, and Byung-Young Kim. Because one of my first memories is the 2001 World Series. Yeah. Byung-Young Kim. So
not Mariano Rivera.
Not Mariano Rivera.
Okay.
I was like, who's this guy throwing all weird?
Yeah. All right. I want to be like him.
I'm going to be just like him when I grow up. And I did. Next question is from Bennett. Question for the pod. Great.
I love this.
Subject line. One time in maybe 08 or 09, I was at a Pirates game, sitting in the 300 section way high above the first baseline. A bring-your-own-radio guy, which is an amazing baseball thing that still exists, was sitting two rows in front of us and spent the whole game loud talk heckling at then-Pirate Nate McLouth with lines like, "You suck, McLousy," and "You and McLousy, you suck." And to reiterate, this is all happening at a loud talk and we're in the nosebleeds. Then maybe in his third AB, McLouth hits for extra bases. And the heckler puts both hands on his head and his jaw falls open and he sits there for a few minutes like that. Like some guy who just learned that the moon is actually very big, just far away. Anyway, how much should a pure hater be willing to pay for season tickets too far away from the field to even be heard? I'm going to slightly redirect this question with an idea.
Well, also, Bennett does follow up and say, just to clarify, this isn't a real question. I just think about that guy a lot. Well, we're treating it like a real question.
There should be a section for haters. Okay. The Yankees have this in the bleachers.
Well, we've also talked about the kind of using like soccer visiting away right. fans. Like if we had a more concise section, I know like the Mets when they travel, they have guys that sit, you know,
right.
all the Mets fans sit together on the road, whatever. But Seven this lines. Is an interesting one because I guess at this time,
he's a home hater.
He's a home hater, right? The heckling of your own players is clearly like right. that is so many people that like to go do that.
I think about this at baseball games all the time. There are so many different types of people at a baseball game. And the people who are similar are sitting apart from one another, right? They're disparate throughout the stadium. In English soccer, it's not just that there's like the hardo ultra section. You have a kids section too. You have a family section. You have different areas for different types of people who want a different type of experience. So I would love if you walk into the ballpark and the person checking your ticket said, excuse me, are you a hater? Well, then you have to sit over here. And then you get to your seat and it's all these other people who are replying on Twitter to tweets from the beat writer,
right,
complaining
about the lineup.
It's like the Reds fans.
This guy's a bum. DFA him.
Think Joey Votto doesn't have enough RBIs.
Right.
It's like the haters sit together. The reply guys are all there.
Yeah.
Just isolate them.
What I am actually really interested about in this email is that the bring your own radio guy is also the heckler. Because I feel like bring your own radio guy kind of keeps to himself.
That's a lot of audio content.
Yeah. Like, isn't. If he's screaming over his own head, I don't know, very strange there. But anyway, I do agree with you. I think that if you kind of separate out, at the same time, like, I would curious what effect that would have on the hecklers, because I think hecklers, they want attention, right? And so they like being the only guy in the section screaming. Now, as for the also premise here, which Bennett is getting at in terms of the players not being able to hear them because you're in the nosebleeds, I mean, that's just, you know. Again, it's for
who are you
for
heckling
these people,
for? You're heckling for yourself.
You're heckling for yourself. It's not about the player hearing you. It's that these people feel good yelling, booing, whatever, which again, we can't totally relate to, but that is my understanding of the enjoyment.
Next question is from Zach, and then we will take a quick break. Tanking for the sixth seed. Six, six, six. Jake and Jordan.
Appropriate for the Blue Jays.
If the Blue Jays slip, which could definitely happen given the injuries to Bichette, could we see a team tank down the stretch to get the sixth seed so they can face the AL Central winner, probably the Twins, not the White Sox, sorry, and then the AL West winner rather than the Rays and the Orioles? If your team was in this situation, what would you want them to do? Keep up the great work, as you guys are the best baseball podcast there is. I thought we were the baseball podcast.
That's how you've introduced them. Good question. We have already started to have this discourse last year when we had this new expanded postseason. Here are the two important things to know. The first point, which is a point I think you want to make, is just that teams, especially good teams, for no reason, even if they're resting guys, do not want to lose on purpose at this point of the season.
You can't really walk into the locker room as the GM and be like, all right, let's cool it.
You can rest guys. Here's why this specific thing is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay? Who are we talking about? Which teams are we talking about here? We're talking about the AL West.
And yeah.
Now, as it stands now, it's possible it could open up more. But right now, the Rangers, Mariners, and Astros, assuming they stay behind the Orioles and Rays for those two spots, they are still going to think they can win the division.
Right.
So it's going to be a weird thing where it's possible that the loser of the AL West race ends up getting to face the Twins, or the Guardians, when they go on this miraculous waiver wire run. would be better than, of course, facing whoever. But those teams are absolutely still going to be playing for a division, which is well worth pushing at the end.
It's a needle not worth threading, is kind of how I see it. All right, let's take a quick break, move our chairs into the shade as the sun is cooking us outside here in my backyard, and we will be back with even more questions from the glorious mailbag.
This is former PGA Tour winner Smiley Kaufman, host of The Smiley Show, a SiriusXM podcast. You want to know what I love about golf? I get to talk to some really cool people. I get to walk the fairways of the best courses in the world with the best players in the world, and I get to share it with you every single week. Listen to The Smiley Show right now on Stitcher, Pandora, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Smiley, S-M-Y-L-I-E.
And welcome back to Baseball Barbacast, a mailbag extravaganza. It is Labor Day. While you're listening to this, Jordan and I are both hungover after a late night at a wedding of one of our longest friends, which is a funny thing to say about a friend, calling them long.
Right. Yeah, long. Yeah. Because normally you would never say,
Longest tenured friends.
Longest tenured. But that's exactly what we're saying, right? And in baseball, you never say like, Adam Wainwright is the longest Cardinal.
Right? I mean, he kind of is, though.
He is, but like, it is interesting. We don't, why don't we say that? Longest, why, yeah. Weird. All right, let's move on.
Longest tenured friend is
our next email comes from Dylan. Dylan says, this is, I guess, sort of related to our last question about, you know, tanking for the sixth seed. Dylan says, so we all just expect the Twins to get swept again, right? Dylan, with the subject line, Twins playoff sad face. So again, you know, Twins obviously haven't won.
What is the most Jewish about baseball?
is being sad that the Twins are going to lose before they have even done anything. I think we're both a little bit more optimistic than the Twins. Their pitching is good enough now that I hope they can win a postseason game. And that's the saddest part, is that Twins fans just want to win a freaking game.
Just one game. Raise the banner for one game.
It's like, that part is sad in and of itself, but I also totally understand. I think they'll win a game. They're not going to get swept. Or the Guardian, like, okay, would you rather the Guardians somehow catch you? No, you don't want that.
No. One more thing from this email.
Oh, yeah.
Love the pod. Fourth time emailing. Wow.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Raise the banner.
Yeah.
Four time emailer. Jake, follow me back on Strava. Okay. Next email is from Dalton. Dalton says, hi, Jake and Jordan. As a St. Louis Cardinals fan, stuck in unfamiliar territory. I assume he means losing and not like Idaho. This time of the year, I've had to entertain myself with watching our young, exciting players rather than looking at the standings. Welcome to our world as Mariners and Orioles fans. However, the subject of my question is the exact opposite of a young, or in this case, exciting player. Adam Wainwright, the longest Cardinal, is currently fifth in wins among active pitchers with 198. It's no secret he struggled this year, but does he have two quality starts in his last three appearances? What are his chances of reaching the 200-win milestone? Thanks, Dalton Wash.
So
here's my thought.
Oh, yeah.
The Cardinals, their only goal for September should be to get him two wins and like get Mason Winn at bat. Here's my thought. Here's what I'm doing. I'm moving Wainwright to the bullpen.
Okay. Interesting.
And I'm bringing him in the fifth inning of a game I'm winning.
Okay.
So if I'm up 4-1.
And then finish the game?
No, he doesn't have to finish the
game. Okay, yeah.
He just, what is the win rule?
Now you're counting on the, right. Oh, God.
But that's
because you're saying that's easier than him throwing five innings. Yeah.
I think Adam Wainwright throwing five innings of quality, winnable baseball at this point, unfortunately, is unlikely. And so the best shot you have is to deploy him in the fifth and the sixth of a game you're winning and then have your other relievers struggle on purpose. See what I'm saying? So it's like, if you're up 7-1, bring in Wainwright.
Talk about threading the needle. Five, you have to do this twice?
Twice. But he's a reliever. It's only two innings. So I think that's how you do it.
I think the funniest idea, I think the funniest part about this.
Ollie Marmol would definitely go for
this. The funniest part about this is being like, hey, Adam, we need you to be a reliever for the first time in like ever. I guess he had like one relief outing in 17.
He threw the curveball at Carlos Beltran.
Yeah, that was like last year before.
A couple years ago.
I think
he gets one win and nothing.
I'm just looking at the schedule. They have this road trip, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Baltimore. It's not happening on that trip. He's terrible in Cincinnati. So you're hoping that he carves up the Brewers, Phillies, Brewers. It's going to have to be against the Brewers, I think.
But he needs two.
He needs two. They play the Brewers twice. They have two series left against Brewers.
Okay, so that's a tough run. Brewers, and Phillies,
Reds twice. Yeah, they got the Pirates this weekend. So Pirates this weekend. If he's not getting it this weekend, I'm really worried. I'm not sure. He was five wins away.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're recording this on Friday, so we will have known if he had gotten one by this point. But five wins away at the start of this season for a Cardinals team expecting to win the division.
Yep.
After he was good last year.
Yep.
Now he's got an 8-10 ERA with three wins. All right, moving on. What's our next question?
He is slated to throw on Sunday.
Okay.
So by the time you're against Oviedo, who just threw a complete game.
Former Cardinal.
All right, let's move forward.
Adam Painwright, indeed.
Adam Painwright, the longest Cardinal. This is from James. Is it wrong? Yeah, it's always wrong. Is it wrong when a team has suddenly turned a corner to sometimes long for the days when they sucked and you didn't care about losses and every night was in a white knuckle stress headache? Signed, Bittersweet in Birdland. Jordan, isn't this old?
Yeah, but this is also just like such a perfect question for both of us, right?
Here we are.
In 2023. Certainly the last 2 years, right? I mean, we think back to 2019, just enjoying the lack, as you mentioned, right? Stress-free. I can just watch. And then it's just, it's such a great thing because like people are like, well, what, don't you want your favorite team to win? It's like, yeah, but.
Sometimes.
But like when it is baseball and when it is an every night experience, sometimes it's nice to just have a companion. You don't really care who wins the last. Like, honestly, a lot of teams, like I've heard Yankees fans kind of talk about this too. It's like, I'm now enjoying that now that we've conceded, I don't have to worry about wins and losses. I just want to watch these players do their best.
Right. The Yankees fans have been high strung for 29
Obviously,
years.
Obviously, that will change as soon as next season begins. Right. That's fine. But for right now, that it is some sweet relief that certainly is rare for Yankees fans. For us, we know we've clearly seen both sides of the spectrum. I've joked about this again, certainly. And now you will have to think about this again because you didn't get this last year. Is postseason baseball is a miserable time.
I mean, yeah.
It's a horrible experience, right?
Awful.
And so I had a terrible time watching the Mariners in the postseason last year. I'm glad it happened, but it was awful. So heading towards that, let alone the stress right now, if one thing, because the Orioles have been so far ahead, whatever. I get it. Is it wrong? Absolutely not.
Grass always greener, baby. Like, when you're losing, you want to be winning. When you're winning, you want to be mid, you know? And here's what I'll say. There is no greater joy as a fan than the turning point season.
But that was last year.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The expectations are low and the results surpass them.
Yeah.
And this was part of my argument why the Orioles should not have traded Trey Mancini last year, even though that has, you know, turned out well.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got Yennier Cano for Jorge Lopez, whatever. The first year, you can never get that back.
I know.
You can never get that feeling back. You and your wife love each other very much. Me and my fiance love each other very much.
Yeah.
But there's nothing quite like young love, Jordan.
No.
There's nothing quite like young love.
And that's the thing about baseball is that, again, also not saying the Yankees have experienced the cycles, right? The competitive cycles and windows of where you go up and down and
ask
up and down.
Any Yankees fan, they'll tell you 2017 was their favorite, right?
Right, right. Right, exactly. Well, except for the band. Moving on.
Okay, next email is from David.
Oh, this is also good. This is a little bit different than Yankees fans.
My name is David and I am a Padres fan. Oof, I know. Correct. This season has me some combination of not wanting to look at the Padres and unable to look away. This is how I feel. It's like a rubbernecking experience. Mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for you guys and how you've helped me keep in tune with the rest of the league, keeping baseball enjoyable. Thank you for all that you do. We appreciate it. We do it for the money. I have one question. If you had to pick one movie, one book, and one album to be buried alongside when you pass, what do you pick? I know it's not baseball related, but I couldn't think of an interesting topic, and I'd rather hear you guys think about this. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready off the jump. Ready?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
My one book would be The Dictionary.
Interesting. Because that's helped you do your job and speak and write the most.
Well, it's all the books, if you think about it, right?
All the books are in there.
All the books are in there. Mm-hmm. If I get buried with any book other than The Dictionary, I'm going to miss some words.
That's a good point.
But you throw me in there with The Dictionary.
I didn't think about that. Yep.
I got all the words. Yeah, and in depth, I can rearrange them as
nothing
I choose.
Nothing is missed.
I got enough time.
No, but see, you're probably missing out on particularly like some baseball vernacular that's not real words.
Also, like proper nouns.
Proper nouns, which is a huge part of life.
Of life. Imagine doing life without proper nouns. Tough. Any book for you?
Any book for me? I mean, like there are baseball books I've enjoyed, but I don't know.
He didn't ask baseball books.
I know. Is there a... I don't know. I don't have a good answer to this. We're so uncultured. This is the other problem. I'm so uncultured. I won't speak for you. Movies is another one that people have listened to this podcast who have worked with us. People making movie references.
I have one. Like,
yeah, what's your movie pick?
The ripped DVD of the Bryce Harper high school highlight tape on YouTube.
That's a great one. I was going to say in terms of musical album, I'm just
Is that a movie?
I'm taking the...
Oh, no, sorry. Mine would be the 2022 NL Champion Phillies box set DVD.
Oh, you know what I'm going to take?
Dude, it's a movie.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Anything could be a movie.
It's a movie.
In 2023, man. Avril Lavigne debut album. That's going in with me.
I would say Exile on Main Street from the Rolling Stones would be my actual album.
I'm sorry that we don't have this. I always feel bad when people try and like get to know us more in terms of non-baseball stuff.
It's not a lot. It's not much. We have some political thoughts.
We do. It's not like we don't have other interests, but in terms of like a wealth of other cultural artifacts.
So yeah,
it's pretty relatively light.
I would say, especially when it comes to film. Film is a real
talk about a blind spot.
Blind spot. Go listen to Tipping Pitches if you want film thoughts.
Yeah.
For us, I listen to a lot of music. Jordan hates music.
Again, you've said that for a long time. I don't know what that means.
It's my favorite joke. All right, moving forward. Thank you for the question.
Let's move on to a question from Jamie. Jamie says, love the show. Thanks for doing it. Again, do it for the money.
Do it for the money.
My question is basic. Sorry, I've been asked a million times.
We do for the bitches, Jordan.
If you had to use one minor league stadium team experience to sell someone on the majesty of minor league baseball, which one would you choose? We haven't asked this before, and I think we've given the same answer. It is a couple categories. First one that jumps to mind is Asheville.
It depends on who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Because if you are foofy, I'm sending you to like Frisco or something more
really
high
nice
end.
AAA
really
ballpark.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm wearing a Dayton Dragons hat right now. And I do think that like the Midwest League at its best has a really strong case. Because you don't want my problem is that like some of the AAA ballparks are too big.
Yeah.
And it just feels like a small, like it just doesn't,
like Indianapolis is nice, but it's just
big league park, yeah, exactly, and some of the other bigger ones like that. So I would want it to be a little bit more cozy. And of course, if you talk about Asheville, because that is as cozy as it gets, historic, small, weird, you know, there's quirks with the ballpark, that's why that's
but not shitty.
Not shitty, right? Because that's and most of the I actually am curious now, what is the shittiest ballpark left, because unfortunately Manfred has essentially murdered most of them.
If you like camping, you would love a shittier ballpark. Like that's more rustic and outdoorsy.
If it has charm. Nashville does sort of fit that to some degree.
Yeah, but it's now the
I don't know what I'm thinking of, like affiliated one is left.
Hagerstown, Old Beloit, Bakersfield, Potomac.
I don't feel like Potomac had any charm. Like those other ones had charm because they weren't in like a public park, even like High Desert. Like I don't know. That's the thing. I'm actually really curious about that. What is the worst one left? But Asheville is still a good answer. There's a lot of good A-ball ballparks that I think are fantastic.
Next email is from Casey. Casey says, which MLB dynasty comes closest to the current dominant run from OU softball? Nobody.
None of them.
Nobody does.
I mean, Oklahoma is, you know, losing 0-3 games a year now. So obviously from a winning standpoint, there's nothing close. Setting records every year. Best offense. Like, this is the other interesting thing about the best teams in Major League history is normally they're known more for one side of the ball than the other. And in this case, they're the best at everything all the time, and that's not going to change anytime soon. So there's nothing like it. And that's why people should pay attention to them and care about them, because it is truly historic. But I don't know.
The most dominant dynasty in baseball history is the 1950s Yankees, as it's kind of in like there weren't that many teams yet. They were using some of these other big league clubs as like their own minor league farm systems. The sport had not yet been fully integrated. There are people who, you know, when they hear 27 rings, make jokes about how the 50s don't count. That all being said, the Yankees were incredibly dominant during that time.
Yeah.
And that is really the best comparison.
Yeah. I mean, they won, you know, 5 in a row, 6 of 7, and then,
Can you imagine?
I think that is,
fuck,
that
dude,
is definitely the answer.
If we were alive in the 50s and the Yankees won 5 in a row, I would be like,
we would not want to be.
That's why the NBA got popular around then, you know? Football, all these other sports started popping up. Before then, baseball was kicking everyone's ass.
Boring as hell.
It's like, oh, Yankees again. I got to watch Yogi Berra.
Right. Yeah. That sounds like a terrible time.
Oh. All right. Next question is from Cameron. Cameron says, hi, Jake. This is so good. Hi, Jake and Jordan. You guys are the best, and I love your show. Thank you.
Thanks,
Cameron. As a recently married man, just hit 1 year.
Same, bro.
I have to say congrats. Marriage is the best. Jordan, can you confirm?
Yes. Marriage, good.
I have never done it, so
working on it. Headed
in the right direction. First, the question, and then a comment. I was watching the Nats game the other day, and noticed this promotion. See attached photo for evidence. It says $50 donation by Washington area Toyota dealers to the Children's Inn at NIH for every strikeout by a Nationals pitcher. My immediate cynical thought was the Children's Inn will be lucky to get $1,000 this season. It also reminded me how Twitter says the kids are starving in Boston when the Red Sox suck. So my question is, which is the lowest risk of this kind of promo? What is the highest? Which company is getting the good PR without giving much up? And which is just bleeding money? You're looking at Nats team strikeouts.
Nats team strikeouts, 29th in strikeout rate, ahead of only Colorado. So totally fair thought, I think, here. I think really what is interesting is how strongly are these companies, charities, thinking about these things when they prepare them before the season?
They're thinking about a loose range of a budget. Mm-hmm. They're probably budgeting the high end and being happy with the low end.
Right. Well, no, I mean, again, it's nice to donate money to good causes, right? You know, it's not happy with, thank goodness we didn't donate that too much money to this good cause. Obviously, right. In theory, that's the it's a good thing. You want to feel good about it.
Your Washington area Toyota dealers, yeah. Shouts out, no free ads. They are not expecting, Mackenzie Gore to become Spencer Strider.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, right. That's a good way to put it. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think right. Of course, there's obvious ones when you just think about. Like I think about there's also versions of like promotions that are they're not charity involves like the Rockies doing, you know, free tacos for 7 runs at home. It's like, well, yeah, it's Coors Field. Clearly they're trying to give away tacos.
Right.
So there's versions of it where clearly you can tell that they wanted it to be a successful promo versus other times, like this one for
just had a great article idea, a history of the Rockies fans getting free tacos. The most dramatic taco acquisition.
Well, and the crazy thing about that is like I remember watching those games in like 2011-12, like they would, when they got to 5 runs, they would like put up a thing. I don't know if it was on the broadcast or also at the where it would be like 2 more runs until we get tacos.
Like, yes, this is great. The worst type of promotion is when it goes the other way. It'd be like NIH Children's Hospital will donate $50 for every strikeout to Toyota dealerships.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's like the Atlanta Braves charity will donate $100 to Purdue Pharma for every home run.
Yeah. I've not seen that before. Hopefully that is not something that is coming around the corner. Our next email is from Bill.
Shouts out
Bill Miller.
Bill Miller.
Who's Bill Miller?
Bill Miller is a personal trainer, private hitting instructor, someone who I have read half of his book.
Oh, there you go.
Admitting I didn't finish the book. Sorry, Bill.
Probably not going in grade with you.
I got big ADHD. Nothing against you, Bill, but I am a big fan of Bill Miller. Mm-hmm. He's Jack Sawinski's guy.
Jack Sawinski's guy. All right.
That's a good one. Jack Sawinski's guy.
He asks, fantasy baseball regular season ending soon. What should our league's punishment be for last place? Classic. This is, of course, become a thing in fantasy football. We saw.
You have to be buried with us.
We saw Dave Fleming, Giants broadcaster. I would say get to be the ball boy for the Giants. Apparently, that was a punishment for finishing in last place. So for Bill's league, we don't know anything about this league, who's in the league, whatever. What is a funny punishment? That's not like, again, like, you know, oh, people.
Physical pain is not funny to me.
No, and like, oh, like take the SAT. Like, that's funny for a few minutes, and then it's like, what is,
we're not
enjoying this. So let's keep it baseball related.
You have to watch every A's game from 2023 and rewind.
Oh yeah, like yes.
After the fact,
you gotta lock in, and that's not really possible. I was thinking about this with the Royals recently. It's just like for the Royals and the A's, it's just like thank God for the pitch clock. I mean, if you're a broadcaster there, right? Like if you watching some of these bullpens. So I was gonna say if there was some way to like do watch that, and there wasn't a pitch clock,
okay.
That's not really possible.
I got one.
Yeah, you got one more.
You have to pay for a ballpark proposal.
Oh, boy.
In 3 consecutive games with 3 different women or men.
So good.
3 consecutive games, and you have a different person on the big screen, and it's you getting down on a knee.
Three straight times.
Back-to-back-to-back games, and it's like, you know, Janine, will you marry me? Bill. And then it cuts to you, and you're proposing to Janine, and everyone claps. And then you come back the next day. And you have to propose
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You have to propose to someone completely different and see if anything happens.
I love this.
3 straight ballpark proposals.
Perfect. I mean, these are hired actors. Like, who are the women that you're getting to do this?
Get three,
or men?
Like, three who, buddies.
Okay.
Let's get your buddies out there.
I love that.
That's awesome.
All right. Next question comes from Robert.
Okay.
Robert says, hey guys, listening to the Ohtani emergency pod on my walk. It's from a couple weeks ago.
It's better than listening to the Ohtani pod on an emergency walk.
I had a thought when Jordan mentioned people thinking that he might be more likely to stay in Anaheim where he's comfortable and can control his rehab. I guess I didn't mention that as if I believed it, but that is people something people were saying. Robert's idea. My idea. 7 years, $350 million with an opt-out after every single season. Then he can be a free agent again whenever he wants if the Angels continue to be the Angels. Guess what? They will.
They will. Spoilers.
Would the team be desperate enough to keep him around for at least one more season to give him all the power with a contract like this? Is this as dumb an idea as my initial instinct says it is?
No.
Not at all. I think this is actually a really good idea, and I think that opt-outs could very well end up being a fascinating... This may have been true even before he got hurt, by the way.
Yeah.
Because, again, if we talk about what Ohtani wants, which none of us actually know, if we assume it's winning, it's not about money, it's not necessarily going to be about... Like, for him, it's not, oh, opt-out so that I can get more money. It's opt-out so that, oh, my team sucks, I don't like where we're going, okay, never mind, I'm going to go somewhere else. And that's obviously one of the more chaotic kind of outcomes of his whole free agency. But I think it's totally plausible. I think there's all kinds of teams that would want to offer something like that.
It is.
Especially because for them, it might be easier to sell to ownership being like, hey, we are not necessarily committing 1,000% to giving this guy $60 million when he's 41. You know, like he might leave before that, which I know is not the point, but we might get him this year. So let's give it a try.
If that is the case, it's important to remember that there are teams who just don't give opt-outs.
That's true.
They just are like a no opt-out team.
Agreed, but also... You would think that this is when that would not be relevant anymore. But fair question. Not dumb at all, Robert. Thank you for the suggestion. Nezbalelo appreciates the suggestion, I'm sure.
Nezbalelo's listening to the pod like,
oh. This email's from Seth. He says, has any player gone from MVP level to complete anonymity faster than Chris Bryant? Really bumps me out to see how fast you fall off the map. Enjoy your work. Thanks. Seth.
So here's the deal with Chris Bryant.
Yes.
I'm jealous. Chris Bryant, I can't pretend to know him personally because I do not.
You sure can't.
He's living a good life, relatively. He is in the mountains in Denver. Maybe he's living in Boulder, going on hikes, bike rides, smelling that fresh Colorado air.
Yeah.
And he does not have to worry much about playing baseball.
No, not at all.
When Chris Bryant signed that big contract with the Rockies, he was saying au revoir to relevance, and he knew it. And part of the reason that I'm sure he felt comfortable making that decision is because he had already accomplished everything there was to accomplish. Okay? He had won a World Series. He had won an MVP. He'd won a Rookie of the Year. He did it.
Golden Spikes. Like,
Golden Spikes. Minor
League Player of the Year.
What else was there for Chris Bryant to do?
Right.
He conquered. He conquered the world. Okay? So, like, for me, I think fans think people give a shit about the Hall of Fame. And we talked about this on the Strasburg pod. I don't think Chris Bryant really ever thought about the Hall of Fame too much. Mm. I'm not saying that he signed with the Rockies to take a big bag of money and go away and be lazy the rest of his life. Like, he wants to succeed.
Yeah.
But when you sign that contract with that team, that organization in that city, you know exactly what you're getting yourself into.
I agree. I think that's all true. And especially when you're being offered that much more to go to a certain place. I mean, I still understand it from Seth's perspective. And I guess I don't know what Seth's fan of is, but it's just like, if you like watching Chris Bryant and like wanted to see him play a lot and like be in big moments, like, yeah, that is a bummer to not really get to see that anymore. So I understand if he's one of your favorite players. But in terms of like, right, like, oh, it's a bummer, feel bad for him. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I think the funniest outcome would be, so he has, I think, 5 more years on the contract.
Holy shit.
My desired outcome is he basically doesn't play very often for the next while, and somehow someone comes in and fixes Colorado, and then at the end of his contract, he gets to like win with the Rockies. Not like anytime soon, but at the very
end. He gets traded back to the Cubs when they're good.
That's also possible. All right. I think any more before we get to our grand finale?
Or yeah, one more.
Okay, one more.
Eric. Hey, fellas, I've got a ridiculous question that seems right up your alley. Sounds like it. I've often in my life heard people say there's not a bad seat in the place when talking about a baseball park. With that said, what do you think is the single worst seat in any of the 30 Major League Baseball stadiums? I think the answer is pretty subjective, but I imagine you will have some feelings on this, correct? First pick is any obscured view seat at either Fenway or Wrigley, where the pole is in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to like lean to the left or the right the whole time to watch the game.
Yeah, and those do exist still. Some say, oh, part of the charm, but like not if you paid a lot of money to sit there for a playoff game. So that sucks. That's definitely one. But that's again, a very specific kind of thing. And like, honestly, to me, that's almost too easy of an answer. It's just like a seat where you can't see anything.
Yeah.
So what else makes a seat bad?
So the seat where you can't see anything, one more thing on that. When the Nats first moved to D.C., they played at RFK for a couple years. And my father got us partial season tickets in 2006, I think. And we were, you remember the inner, the lower bowl in RFK was under the overhang.
Yes.
From the top bowl.
I remember
and you
this.
Could not see the entire
field
you were, from the top of the inner bowl because the lower overhang would
obscure
your view.
Which is so weird because like they played baseball there.
Right. Anyway, we were
obscured.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
So he, this dumb dumb, loved my dad, but you know, we had seats that we could not see home plate. Like you couldn't see home plate from the seats. That's a bad
because
seat.
Because of obscured above, which
above.
Is so weird. Yeah,
above.
No, that's a great one.
That's a bad seat in the house. Other reasons for a bad seat in the house.
I mean, like you might, again, if you're talking season tickets, whatever. I actually would like to know. I mean, I guess in theory, it's Dodger Stadium. Like, what is the seat that is the farthest from home plate?
The Los Angeles Coliseum down the right field line.
Right. Of the 30 active parks?
The
I mean, it has to be Oakland, but those seats aren't even open.
Open in Oakland and center is the answer. I climbed the inner bowl in Oakland.
Yeah.
Or the top deck down the left field line when I was there earlier this year.
So it has to be Oakland.
Yeah.
I would love to know the answer in the non-football stadium.
Whereas like the catwalk at
Not
the trough
seat.
Is sick.
And that'd be awesome. I'd love to watch a game up there. So I don't know. I mean, and it's, if it's just distance, I'm sure there's some other... Actually, you know what? Let's just answer a slightly different question. What is your least favorite angle to watch a game from? Because I know we sit in the press box now, and obviously most press boxes are behind home plate. And if we go to minor league games, we're just going to sit behind home. There's some value in sitting down the lines. But like, what is your least favorite angle to watch a game?
Anywhere down the line between the base and the foul pole. Upper deck.
Yeah, farther down that way.
I like a game from the outfield.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
I agree with that.
I like watching from center. But if you're too off to the side, mm-hmm. there's a lot you just can't see and you have issue with various trajectories.
Yes.
And it's hard to like know what's going on with pitching.
Yes. Yes. Right. Anything that's like totally sapping your ability to appreciate the pitcher. Because you still can if you're close enough or even if you're down the lines. But
yeah. Here's a take.
Yeah.
Sitting behind home plate is underrated. It's underrated. I hate that it's the most expensive because real ball fans appreciate
there.
It the most.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
I think, behind home plate is underrated. It's incredible. Go to any minor league game and pay, $12.
That's the thing. Like that's a great point. You will still enjoy, that's why we say all the time, just go to minor league games because you can't sit behind home plate for $10. And it is just, it doesn't matter even who exactly is playing. Like just watching a baseball game from that close is amazing. All right, Jake, it's time for our grand finale.
Yep. You want me to read it?
Yes. This email comes from the original little poop monster at gmail.com.
That is actually the email.
That is
email.
I'm going to read it again. The original little poop monster at gmail.com.
Not the knockoff little poop monster.
Don't even
it's
think
the OG.
Jake, why don't you go ahead and read this email?
Title, Hello, Old Friends. Hi, Jake, Jordan, listeners. It's your boy, LP. It has been over 7 years since I last graced your email inbox and almost 10 years since I first did so. A lot has changed since that time. In fact, most listeners nowadays are probably wondering why this is my name and what this shtick exactly is. And I think it's best to leave them in the dark and allow for the 1% of the audience who has been here since the beginning, the original podcast, to enjoy a dip back into the days of lawlessness and exuberant youth. But I digress. In September 2013, the Athletics were good. Jake and Jordan were starting college. Chris Davis knew how to hit a baseball. Alan Craig was finishing up an all-star season. Wow. And was about to get freaking tripped on. He was about to trip over Will Middlebrooks.
True, highlight of that postseason.
And so much more was afoot. But now here we are in September 2023, 10 years later, after our first podcast. Crazy. And Alan Craig, 10 years later, wondering where the time and Alan Craig have gone. I come to you now with a question or a hypothetical of sorts. You wake up tomorrow morning in the same bedroom. Fine, we've done that many times. For the sake of this hypothetical, and in front of you stand two people. Who are they? Why, they're none other than the two of you from September of 2013. Of course. You must give them information to fill them in on the happenings of life in the past 10 years. But here is all I care to hear you tell them. And you cannot tell them any more than this. the full career information of five players. All of the information regarding three teams, one storyline that doesn't directly involve a single player or team, one thing from your personal life. Choose wisely. With love, Little Poop. Sent from Jake Alou's BlackBerry.
Thank you to Little Poop for making a triumphant return. This is an amazing question.
So
I'm honestly kind of overwhelmed of trying to answer these questions.
So the one thing from your personal life is easy.
Yeah.
For you, it is, hey, the girl you just met on campus is your wife.
Yes.
And for me, it's, hey, that girl that you're currently dating is your wife as well.
Yeah.
So that's easy. That's a layup. Yeah. Right.
Boring, but easy. Now, the other questions are so good and honestly, like, probably deserve further preparation. I think the part I'm actually most interested in is the three teams, from the standpoint of which three teams have essentially had the most interesting last decade.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, if you have thoughts about the players, like, this is such a good question. So, I really like this. And the storyline does involve a single player. So you can take this wherever you want, but I'm interested in digging into the teams part.
So I think you have to do the Cubs.
Okay.
I think you have to do the Cubs because 2016 is so fundamental.
Yep.
And we were there.
That's true. That's a great point. To be like, you
idiots.
Yes.
You 17-year-old and 18-year-old idiots.
You're going to be there when the Cubs win. Or not, whatever. You will get
3-4 and 5.
Yes, you will be the. You will watch the Cubs win a World Series game at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Soon.
Within the next 3 years.
Soon. Think about how shitty the Cubs were in 2013. Okay, anyway. That's a great
point. Cubs is just a layup for me.
Other teams that have now, but to be honest though, after that, you know, okay, it didn't work out. They stuck together. It's still relevant, and that's you're right. That's an answer. So I'm trying to think of the whole.
And then
story.
You could kind of get like Theo fixing the rules. I think the storyline that I would tell would probably be rule changes, baseball related.
Right. Something about that. Yeah. If that's definitely a good one. And that field, maybe that's recency bias.
I mean,
because
the full
season.
Career information for five players. One is Ohtani, because in 2013, we know nothing about him.
2013, he's like, I think, just drafted out of high school in Japan. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I think the other team I would pick would be the Nationals.
Yeah. Nationals are my next pick. Yeah.
Because 2019 gets obscured.
And now you also get the Juan Soto. I know it's, you know, you get all the information. You're essentially getting the Juan Soto story and
getting the
trading
wiki
him
page.
And then where they're at now. I think the Nationals are the other obvious pick. So then the third pick, in terms of teams.
It's a layup, Jordan.
Okay.
It's the Houston Astros.
Yeah, it's the Astros. That's the answer.
They won two World Series during that time. In 2013, they were fucking horrible. And since then, they have become.
Imagine this
is going to be the most hated team.
Yeah, be like, two things. This is going to be the most hated team. This is going to be the best team, right? Dodgers were still good. But like, you would say, at this point, you could say, hey, the Dodgers, you know, they're pretty good. This team will be with the Dodgers at the top of the sport for the next decade. This team. And everyone will hate them because of all these things.
Because of trash cans.
Because of trash cans. So yeah, I think the Astros are obvious.
So those are my three teams, the Cubs, the Nationals, and the Astros.
Yeah. Being like, hey, the Yankees haven't even made it to the World Series.
If you push it back.
That would be kind of funny to say, but that's not like a big story.
If you push it back a little bit, it'd be the Giants for 10, 12, and 14, but we get 10 and 12 in this scenario, so no. Our favorite teams... Fuck him.
No, I also, like, I wouldn't want to spoil for my own team.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't want to do
one story, all the information. Other players. So, other players.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thought is, like, hey, like, you just make a lot of money.
Yeah. Ohtani, I mean, honestly, Bryce Harper would be.
But
the Bryce Harper story is not, like, done yet, right? Like.
Yeah, but it's.
If you build it up and he.
It's done.
Yeah. It's not done, but it's a good one. It's a good pick.
You know where it's going.
Yeah. Trying to think of like, I mean, there's some like really sad ones we don't have to do.
We already knew about Trout.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, again, from an efficiency standpoint, you would
Vlad
also be hearing
Jr.
about.
Vlad Jr. is a fun one.
At that
and
point.
And Tatis Jr. Like,
oh,
these
Tatis
guys
Jr. Kids. I mean, we really don't even know anything about that. Yeah. Be like, okay, so there's this 10-year-old named Yuri Perez. I know it sounds crazy. He'll be here really soon.
Jason Dominguez. This is
amazing. So anyway, this is a great question. And honestly, I would love to hear other people's answers on that. So maybe that's a good place to end.
Hey, Paul Skeens is going to riz up. Livy not.
Livy. Okay. Anyway. That's it. We did a mailbag podcast. We hope you all enjoyed. If you want to answer this question from Little Poop, please do. I would love to hear people's answers.
Are we going to reveal Little Poop's identity or no? No.
No. I think we don't have to do that. No. Thank you all for listening. This has been a mailbag episode of Baseball Barbecast on this Labor Day. We'll be back on Wednesday with more timely reactions to the world of baseball. But until then, thank you to Chris Tyler for producing this. Thank you, Jake Mintz, for hosting me in your backyard. Thank you to everyone who listened. You can email us baseballbarbecast@gmail.com. That's BARBcast. Make sure you subscribe, follow wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating, review. Tell us how we're doing. We hope you enjoyed this. But until Wednesday, have a good week, and we'll talk to you very soon.
SiriusXM Podcasts.